4. Nanette's opening address went for most of the trial's second day. By itself, however, it wasn't evidence. We were warned about that from the beginning. The opening address outlined what the prosecution's case was and why they felt that the evidence they were going to present would prove it. But whether their evidence did prove it was up to us to decide. In a nutshell, the prosecution's case was this. In April and May 2023, from a website called iNaturalist, Erin Patterson learned that there had been sightings of deathcap mushrooms around Locke and Outram, two small towns that were both within a 20-minute drive of her home in Leongatha. On learning of this, Erin set about foraging for deathcap mushrooms herself. On the day she collected some deathcap mushrooms from Locke, she bought a Sunbeam food dehydrator. She practiced dehydrating mushrooms and, having mastered the art, she then dehydrated the deathcaps she had collected earlier and kept them sealed in a container in her pantry. Erin then embarked on a series of lies, we were told, that enabled her to pretend she had a valid reason for inviting her estranged husband, Simon Patterson, his parents, Don and Gail Patterson, and his aunt and uncle, Heather and Ian Wilkinson, over to lunch on the 29th of July, 2023. For that lunch, she cooked individual beef wellingtons, at least four of which contained a mushroom duxelle, a savoury mushroom paste that included deathcap mushrooms, and at least two of which contained a mushroom duxelle that did not contain deathcap mushrooms. Exactly how many she cooked was never finally determined. The prosecution's case was that Erin served the contaminated beef wellingtons to Don, Gail, Heather, and Ian knowingly and with the intention of killing them. She then pretended to have accidentally been mildly poisoned herself when she had not been poisoned at all. When she fed her children the leftover beef wellingtons on the evening after the lunch, she did so in the knowledge that those did not contain deathcap mushrooms. She then lied about using dried mushrooms from an Asian grocer in the mushroom duxelle to avoid blame for the three deaths her beef wellingtons had caused. Erin then embarked on a series of incriminating behaviours in a further effort to avoid blame, Nanette told us. She'd swapped phones, surrendering a new one to the police and destroying the old one, which she'd used all that year, to prevent the police from accessing the data on it. She'd also attempted to get rid of the dehydrator, but when it was recovered, it still bore traces of deathcap mushrooms. At the end, Nanette took aim at the question of motive and tackled it head on. You might be wondering, she concluded, why would the accused do this? Yep, absolutely, you bet I was. People had been discussing Erin's motive and pulling hypotheses out of thin air for the best part of 2 years. The single biggest problem with believing that Erin had indeed cooked this lunch with the express intention of killing people was, why? What is the motive? Nanette asked. As she took a breath and prepared to offer the answer to her own question, she had a captive audience of 15 jurors. I was leaning forward. So were the others. Nanette and her junior barrister, Jane Warren, had obviously pored over the intricate details of this case for months and months. They'd read all the statements, heard all the interviews, asked all the questions. Revealing where all this had got them in terms of Erin's motive was going to answer a lot of questions. Well, you might still be wondering this at the end of the trial, said Nanette flatly. What? Motive is not something that has to be proven by the prosecution. You do not have to be satisfied what the motive was, or even that there was one. The prosecution will not be suggesting that Miss Patterson had a particular motive to do what she did. That threw me. I had been expecting at least a suggestion of some sort, a cunning insight drawn from pulling hidden clues into a suddenly focused narrative. or just a moment of illuminating brilliance, perhaps. But no, they didn't know either. Didn't have a clue. The forensic intellect of an eloquence of lawyers had come up with nothing. What you will have to focus your attention on is whether you are satisfied beyond reasonable doubt that the accused committed the charges, not why she may have done so. Easy for her to say. Once again, a declaration of law. A motive is not required. Bumped up against human nature. But I have to know. It was simply far harder to believe Erin had intended to kill her children's beloved grandparents when no one could explain why she would. But I had to admit that whether it was intended to or not, telling us to forget about searching for a motive had the same subtle effect as telling us to put Erin's other three attempted murder charges out of our minds. Now I couldn't stop thinking about it. What could her motive possibly have been? I was going to have trouble finding her guilty unless I had some idea why she might have done it, regardless of what the law said. I knew, therefore, I would have to pay particularly close attention to all the evidence regarding what Erin had done and said over the years in an effort to get inside her head. What had she been thinking? And just as importantly, what had she been feeling? And just like that, I didn't have an open mind. If I was preoccupied with looking for clues that led to a motive, I was looking for confirmation of guilt. Nanette finished her address by asking us, like Justice Beale had, to keep an open mind. Yet part of her address, through doing nothing but explaining the law, had very gently nudged me away from that position. Very clever, I thought. I would have to be on my toes around these women. And my toes wouldn't get a rest around Mr. Mandy either. His opening address for the defence was short and sweet, which was just what I had been hoping for. He got off to a very good start with me, quickly ticking off all the points that were not in dispute. Yes, Deathcap Mushrooms had killed Don, Gail, and Heather, and nearly killed Ian. And, yes, those Deathcap Mushrooms had been in the beef Wellingtons they had for lunch on the 29th of July, 2023. And Erin had cooked that lunch. No argument. As the prosecution presented their case, Mandy told us we would hear a considerable amount of medical and scientific evidence proving those allegations, but this would all be largely academic because the defence was not disputing any of it. What they were disputing was intention. Erin had not deliberately served poisoned food to her guests. She didn't intend to cause harm to anyone on that day. It was all a terrible accident. So as you listen to the evidence, you should consider, when it comes to the fundamental issue of Erin's intention, did she have a motive to kill these four family members? Now I was being nudged the other way. The implication behind Mandy's phrasing was, if there isn't a motive, there can't be intention. Which, to be honest, was pretty close to the position I'd been arguing at lunches and dinner parties for well over a year. My open mind was now leaning towards innocent. On the face of it, Colin Mandy was saying the same things Nanette had. Keep an open mind and wait till you've heard everything. But in fact, while I was being warned by Mandy not to form an opinion too early, in the same breath, he solemnly informed us that one piece of legal framework needed emphasizing. That framework is innocent until proven guilty. His calmness projected gentle authority. On all these four charges right now, Erin Patterson is innocent. Suddenly I realized the word presumed was missing. Erin didn't just enjoy the right to be presumed innocent, as Justice Beale had said. According to Colin, right now, on the 30th of May 2025, she was innocent. It might be a small distinction, but I could feel the tug. To my mind, it was delicate wordplay aimed at making the path to guilty that much steeper. I glanced at Erin in the dock. She was just sitting there impassively, a purple cardigan sloping down her shoulders. We were being told that right now, as I was looking at her, she was innocent. It had all been a terrible accident, and she had not intended to kill anyone. So, what if we found her guilty? It's not as if we could go back and change reality to fit a jury verdict. But Colin Mandy could read a room. He'd done this before. Some of you might be thinking to yourselves, we haven't heard any of the evidence yet. We haven't seen any of it. We've got an open mind about all this. And of course, you would have an open mind, as His Honour has asked of you, and as the law requires of you. I'm sure you do. You should. Well, I was trying to. But something more is required from a jury at this stage, because while having an open mind, the starting point for you is that Erin Patterson is innocent of these charges. Now I really was confused. On one hand, Colin was smoothly reinforcing all the previous instructions we had been given to keep an open mind. On the other hand, he was telling us that a fundamental principle of law had to be upheld. We had to begin by taking the position that Erin was innocent. He was attempting to have us believe that was merely an extension of keeping an open mind. To me, it sounded like a contradiction. Erin Patterson had either acted intentionally or she had not. As she sat there, the truth behind her actions 2 years previously was one or the other. At the moment, we simply did not know, and while we could presume innocence, we wouldn't really be able to say which reality was true until we had heard all the evidence that was about to be put before us. I understand the presumption of innocence. I get why it's a thing, or I think I do. It's really saying, don't judge and don't assume guilt until you've heard all the evidence. So I didn't. I just told myself not to get rattled. I wasn't an idiot. I understood about fairness and about the need to be alert to and avoid prejudice. Feeling I'd gained some equilibrium, I glanced at Erin again. And this time she was more like Schrodinger's cat. She was both guilty and innocent, so I couldn't assume either. And we wouldn't know which was true until we opened the box and looked inside. But what was inside? Who was Erin Patterson, and what were the facts of her life? And if those facts were the prelude and context for her peculiar behaviour in 2023, from April through to August, would the words and actions of a lifetime build a case for intention or for an accident? Heads or tails?